Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you, and the following short evangelistic gospel message is sponsored by Preacher Wayne Boyd and the Brethren in Christ at First Baptist Church, located in Almont, Michigan, USA. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that His only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that His everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that His elect saints be greatly encouraged and comforted in these evil and perilous days. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by His sovereign free grace. That is to say, Almighty God in His unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. Our last opportunity. After preaching recently in a certain city, the pastor in that congregation showed to me a photograph taken of congregants who heard me preach there on previous occasions some years ago. He pointed to a certain man in the picture, identified that one as not professing Christ when the photo was taken, and said that he perished in a storm a few hours after hearing me preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus. He declared that I had preached the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to that perishing soul, but for he had yet remembered the scripture expounded and the message preached, but to the best of his knowledge, that one perished as an unbeliever, having heard of Christ, but not coming to him for salvation. Two grave facts arose in my mind. First, I preached to one who perished a few hours afterward. Secondly, that one perished a few hours after hearing the gospel. Regarding the first fact, what does a preacher preach to a soul about to hear preaching for the last time and afterward die? God's preacher preaches the same thing he always does, for he realizes every time he preaches that some hearer may hear preaching for the last time and afterwards die. Since God's preacher is concerned for the souls of his hearers, he preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified in his everlasting gospel. Regarding the second fact, do you realize that you may die without an opportunity to hear the gospel again? Do not perish outside Christ as an unbeliever in him. Reading from Hebrews 4:7. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And also from Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And that message was from preacher Daniel Parks, somewhere in the U.S. Virgin Islands. God's long-suffering to his people. Peter the Apostle addressed his second epistle to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1. He assured them with this faithful declaration, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. What a glorious truth is here declared. It is God's will that none of his people perish, and that all of them repent. God is long-suffering to his people until all of them repent. And his long-suffering to them is their salvation. All whom God purposed to save will indeed be saved before he returns. The next message is entitled, Jesus Christ's Imminent Return. The Lord Jesus Christ, shortly before his return to heaven, prophesied of his second coming, as when he said in John 14:6, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Some of Jesus' disciples thought his return was imminent, about to occur at any moment, but Jesus' second coming was not imminent at that time, for certain other prophecies he had made had to be fulfilled before his return. These prophesied events preceding Christ's return included the coming of false Christs and false prophets, deceiving many, wars between nations and kingdoms, famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places, persecution and martyrdom of Jesus' followers, and the love of many waxing cold, the preaching of the gospel in all the world, the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the year of our Lord 70, and great tribulation followed by wonders in the heavens. Please read Matthew 24, verses 3 through 29. The master lays it all out, friends. Jesus would return after all these things occurred. Reference to verse 30. Jesus made another promise regarding his second coming, approximately the year 100 AD, 70 years after his first promise. He said, surely I am coming quickly. Revelation 22, see verses 12 and 20. Therefore, all the prophesied events that had to precede his return have been fulfilled. His second coming is now imminent. That is about to occur at any moment. We who await Christ's imminent return reply, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's Revelation 22:20. Today would be a good day for Jesus to return, indeed. Christ Jesus' successful rescue mission for his people. Christ's resurrection from the grave by the power of God was the Father's attestation to the completeness of the Son's work and his public acknowledgement of its acceptance. Thus, the resurrection of Christ is to us what a legal acknowledgement is at the hands of a creditor whose claim has been met, whose bond is canceled. The believing soul sees in the empty tomb of Jesus the evidence of his full discharge from all the demands of law and justice. Now it is the power of this truth in our souls that concerns us. What we want to experience is his resurrection life in our hearts. This was Paul's prayer in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. What does the resurrection of Christ prove? Number one, it proves that Jesus Christ, as our surety, substitute, and redeemer, died under the penalty of our sins. And from Romans 6:10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. The one offering of himself for our sins imputed to him was enough to satisfy and pay our debt to God's justice in full. Number two, it proves that Jesus Christ has justified all for whom he died. His death not only paid the penalty of all the sins of all for whom he died, but also brought forth righteousness by which God is just to justify them. Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans 4:25. This is the righteousness of God freely imputed, that is to say, charged to all for whom Christ died. Number three, it proves that Jesus Christ is the author and giver of spiritual life to all whom he justified. By the righteousness of one that is, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men, that is, all for whom he died, unto justification of life. Please see Romans 5:18. Where the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ has been imputed, spiritual life will be imparted by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. Number 4, it proves the eternal security of all for whom Christ died. The skeptic may ask, if Jesus arose from the dead, where is he now? He is alive and seated in the heavenlies, ever living to make intercession for all his people. As it is written in 1 John 2:1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the author, meaning beginner, and finisher, meaning complete. Leader of our faith. See Hebrews 12:2. As long as Jesus Christ lives, none for whom he died and arose can possibly perish. That was from preacher Bill Parker. The blood of justification. The Apostle Paul wrote, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5:9. What a positive, comforting thing it is to hear that we shall be saved from wrath. The wrath of God, which shall fall upon every sinner outside of Christ, shall not fall upon those of us in Christ, not because we do not deserve it, nor because God had decided not to judge our sins, but because it has already fallen upon Christ, our substitute. We shall be saved through him. Simply stated, believers in Christ shall be saved because they have been saved. Our justification through his blood, his life laid down, his cross death, was not only the sum of all of our justification before God, but is also the source of all our consolation from Almighty God. Since God has declared us righteous in Christ and put away our sin by the shedding of his blood, we now wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Everything is through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me, friends. And this comfort and consolation is received and enjoyed by us through God-given faith. How can a sinner live in this life without fear of the wrath to come? Him! His blood! We believe God and sit in quietness of conscience and mind as those Hebrews sat in their house in Goshen, Egypt, with the blood of the Passover lamb on their doors as the death angel passed through Egypt. We have been saved, so we shall be saved. And that message was preacher Gary Shepherd. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus commands, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And the Master says in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children from around the world, near and far, to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, Yahovah Tzidkenu, Baruch Hashem, bless his holy name. If you are led of the Lord to contribute funds to sponsor future shortwave radio broadcasts, then please go to wwcr.com and get their address to send donations. Please remember to indicate that it's for the storm warning broadcast. Of interest here is, friends, it's that there are millions of poor folks that do not have computers, laptops, or even a smartphone, and but they do have old-fashioned, inexpensive shortwave radios. That's how they get the news and the gospel messages. I greatly appreciate those of you who have donated funds. In doing so, you are propagating Almighty God's everlasting gospel around the world and to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to communicate, then please feel free to write. The email address is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. And please indicate what country you are from. I'd love to communicate with you. God willing, I'll write you back too. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends, our mighty and glorious King of Glory, and the Son of Righteousness, is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha!